Well, it's been said that last year we decided to go to the Czech Republic for our holiday, and as we often try and do, we try and find out if we can find anywhere to worship. And for many of these countries, it can be very difficult. So often you're in a car listening to a CD or a tape for your Sunday service. But what we did find, Heather actually found an article in the Answers in Genesis, which had been written about our brothers at Enoch. And what she did was contacted them through that email address. And we discovered that the second week on our holiday, we were actually staying only about 20 miles from there. So we made contact beforehand and through the wonderful world of email. And we had the opportunity of visiting them at their service in the evening on the Sunday that we were nearby. And well, the service was in Czech, so I think I learnt one Czech word in my 2 weeks there. So it wasn't very helpful for the actual service, but then we started talking to them afterwards and we had fellowship with them. And it became very clear to us that our brother and sister had come on a long, long journey, and the Lord had led them on a long journey, and they were keen on they'd come to the stage of being reformed, evangelistic, and separatist. And after we only spent a few hours with them, but even in that short time, it became clear to us that they were making a stand that we can equal with. And so what we did afterwards, we were in contact again, and I prepared some information that we'd received from them and took it to Mr. Martin, and he thought it was a good idea. And so I'm really thankful to say today that the committee and session of this church had the foresight to say yes, we it's something that we should be doing. And so we looked at bringing them over for our testimony month. We also had the privilege of hearing them on Friday night at the youth service, and you've heard some of the thing about that. And it's really been, as a family, it's really been a real privilege to have Zdenek and Nicola and the family and Veronica staying with us. And I just ask you to remember our brethren. You heard on Friday about the fact of how difficult it is in the land. We were told that there's possibly no other reformed work in the whole land of the Czech Republic, and we take all these things for granted. And as you hear the testimony tonight, just remember what the Lord does. The Lord has led them. He's led them after our brother's conversion, but he also led him before, when he wasn't even aware of it. And if you're sitting in here the service tonight, you know, the Lord's led you to be in this service tonight, and if you're not saved, then the Lord has a purpose for you being here. So I just ask you to listen to this testimony, but more than just listen to it as a story, to understand the significance of what the Lord's message is to us tonight. Thank you.
We thank our brother Mike for giving that introduction. Could I just give a special welcome to the visitors from the Czech Republic? On your behalf, we would like to welcome our brother Zdenek Karasek and his wife Nicola, their children Samuel and Philip, Daniel and Joel. We're no problems with those names. And also our sister Veronica Vorshovska. I'd say I got closer to it than our clerk of session did, so at least I'm proud of that one. As Dr. Douglas says, we murder the English language in Lurgan. We also murder the Czech language as well, and any other language we attempt to speak in. But we're delighted to welcome them. I just asked them just to stand up where they are. They're scattered around the church here. So we have some in the gallery and our sister Veronica here and Samuel at the back. Could we just give them a very warm welcome, please? Without further ado, we're going to ask our brother Zdenek if he'll come now. He's going to speak to us. Thank you.
I would like to thank you for inviting me and my family and Veronica here. We feel really welcome here, and we are very happy to be here. We are very challenged as well, and very happy to share our experience with you. I gave my testimony a title. The title is From an Atheist to a Missionary. I was born in Czechoslovakia in those dark years in the 50s when the communists had their show trials and accused their leaders and their key persons, falsely accused, and then hung them. The communism is a philosophy which is a materialistic philosophy, and one of the main bulwarks are they don't believe in God. It's a godless philosophy. All people are supposed to be equal. They all are supposed to work together, succeed in an economic growth, ending in paradise on earth. And the majority of the population in 1948, after the war, believed in this fairy tale and voted the communists into the power. This mistake cost the Czechs 40 years of dictatorship, of materialistic indoctrination, and the communists were really failures, but what they succeed in was to wipe out God out of society and from people's minds. They left a barrenness, godlessness, and no faith in God, not only in God, but not even the existence of God. So you would hardly find anybody with a faith in the existence of God. That's the result of this godless philosophy. I was born under communism. I spent 28 years there, and never in my childhood or youth I met a Christian. Never tried to evangelize me, I never met anybody who would believe in God, who would believe even in the existence of God. And that was normal. The whole nation turned away from God. So I was brought up an atheist, evolutionist, and materialist, but not a communist. I left the country because I felt really not at home at all with the communist rule. So I wanted to live in a free world, so I went into exile as a political refugee. I spent then 17 years in West Germany. I was 28 years old. And then followed 5 years of enjoying myself, enjoying the freedom, enjoying the rich West. I was employed, I had money, I took every advantage to travel and to buy things I've never dreamt of. I took many opportunities the West provided. That was a new world of unexpected richness and freedom. I wasn't a bad boy. I didn't have any evil inclinations. And from my childhood, I was rather quiet and always good marks in school. And I wasn't very loud, very quiet rather. But I was a man of the world. I wasn't involved in any particular evil things. I was always keen to learn. And after a couple of years, I felt I had to learn English. German wasn't enough to travel and to even follow to be able to fulfill my professional duties as a computer programmer. So I started learning English, and there at the private institute of English, I met a teacher. She was very popular among the students. Everybody liked her, and she was always ready to answer questions and to help her students. So we talked occasionally after the lessons, and it came out that she was a God believer. It was a complete shock to me, because it was like for the first time in my life I met a Christian. She was like somebody from another world. I couldn't put those two things together, that she was educated, Oxford graduate, and a believer in God. It might be normal for you, but for me it was like meeting somebody from another planet. She ordered for me, she was keen to communicate her faith to me, and she ordered a Czech Bible. I started reading, and as I read the first page, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, and a few verses more, and then I couldn't read anymore, because it wasn't trustworthy to me. I was an evolutionist. If I didn't believe the first page of the Bible, how could I believe the rest of the Bible? So I gave her back the Bible, and I said, "Look, I just really, it's not for me. I can't believe it. I believe in evolution. I believe in science. And the science has all the answers and explanations of the origins. That's what I believe, and I want to be free, and I want to believe what I've been brought up." But she didn't give up, and found out about a series of lectures in Munich. They were given by a creationist, by Professor Werner Gitt. And he was a scientist, a top scientist, and at the same time a Bible believer. I went there just to make her happy, but I thought, no way anybody could take away my persuasion. Professor Werner Gitt started with the Bible and was using many scientific evidences and interpreted them in a biblical way. He said, "There are evidences, there are facts which all the scientists have, but it depends how they interpret them. The evolutionists interpret them in their way, but the creationists interpret them according to the biblical pattern, to the biblical model." So one of his arguments was that at the beginning must have been an information, an intelligence which had the information, and there must have been an intelligent being. Life didn't come into being just by accidental mixing of chemicals, but it is a highly organized thing. An intelligent being is needed to organize matter and energy to make it living. It all made sense. And Professor Werner Gitt just spoke my language. He was a technically oriented computer scientist, professor of mathematics and physics, and all the vocabulary was so familiar to me. And he really spoke into my heart. He was very convincing and scientific, and at the same time, a Bible believer. So it all fell in place. It all made sense. He utterly destroyed my evolutionary persuasion. My whole life philosophy fell apart. And one result, and the main result of all this was, I asked Nicola to bring back the Bible. I said, I believe the first page now. There must be a creator. And if he is the creator of this world, then he is somebody I can believe, and I can read on and read his word and trust even the rest of the Bible. So creation wasn't a hindrance to me anymore, and I could read on. I didn't have any idea who God was, and I didn't know anything at all what it means to believe in him. So I had to reorder my mind and all my beliefs. These talks just triggered the real revolution in my life. I had many struggles, many questions, many doubts, temptations to go back. My English teacher left Germany, went back to England, but she corresponded with me. We didn't have internet, we didn't have email, but we corresponded very regularly. It took me a year to struggle through, to reorder my mind and my thought system. But I had a great confidence that the Bible would give me, that would be the right help. It would give me all the answers. It would help me to get answers from the living God. So I read the Bible. I started going to a Bible study, and I struggled. I didn't take it lightly, because I understood if that I can't just add the faith in God to my life. I understood the faith in God would change my life. So I started to understand the spiritual truth. I could see how far from God, how far away I was. After a time, I really felt like a lost sheep. Like a sheep, I have gone astray. I started feeling a sense of guilt towards God. And I understood more and more that I was a sinner. I understood that things I did, which everybody else did, didn't make my doing right. Or that everybody else did things that it doesn't make it right. I understood in God's eyes, I didn't do right things. I was a sinner. I was a man of flesh, and I didn't have biblical principles at all. And I came across a verse in the Bible from Matthew 23:37, where Jesus formulates the great commandment, "Thou shalt love thy Lord, the Lord thy God, with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind." At that point, I realized another problem. Who I loved was myself, was me. I was egocentric in my love. I didn't love God. So through reading his word, I could see how he sees me, how sinful I am before him. I could see the wrath of God was revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of man. I could hear, listen, and understand a bit more of God, who He is, and who I am, who I am, who am I. So it was I started repenting again and again. My conversion wasn't just one instant event. It was a long process. It took me a half a year, when gradually my faith in God grew. I heard the gospel several times in the meantime, and I won trust in the Lord and Savior. So half a year later, in a process of many dramatic events and spiritual struggles, I actually realized I became a believer. God was so patient with me and so merciful. He confirmed to me that I was His child in changing me, in changing my heart from the heart of stone to heart of flesh. My heart warmed up to him. And I embraced God's ways and His commandments for my life. So it wasn't my decision, it was His election. It was His work, and I just realized in retrospective, yes, I was there already. So in Jesus, I am saved evermore, as we sang before. We corresponded with Nicola, and through that correspondence, we didn't have much before she left Germany. We didn't have much time to spend together or be together or get to know each other. But through correspondence, we really started liking each other more and more. And only later on, Nicola told me that she loved me. And it was a great test of her faith, because who was I? A boy from Czechoslovakia, from a village, political refugee, and she was a fine Oxford graduate, believer. So it was a great test of her faith. She knew from the Bible, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers." So for her it was a time of obedience and patience and waiting for the Lord. When I told her then, that was I think November 87, that I knew, I was sure that I became a believer. We both started thinking the direction to get married, but we didn't know much about each other. It was just, it would have been God putting us together. And so we did it in the end. Half a year later, I went to Britain. That was on Friday. And on Monday, we got married. That was 18 years ago. So it was a step of faith. as many things in our lives we just committed to the Lord. We didn't want to make those heavy decisions. We committed them to Him to show us the way, to show us His will, and we just obeyed. We together we came back to Germany, and we were keen to do something for the Lord. We were part of a church there. I was baptized there, and my baptismal verse was from 1 Corinthians 16:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So from Germany, this verse just was that what we started doing. We started with literature work for the Czechs as soon as the border opened in 1989. We went with the brethren there, we went to the Czech Republic every weekend and distributed vouchers for free Christian literature. We went to 130 different cities and towns and villages and utterly flooded every place with vouchers. We put one voucher into every letterbox in that place and waited for the reply. We had from 900,000 vouchers distributed, 35,000 responses. But that was the time after the revolution. There was a great spiritual hole and people just responded. So we had a response of about 3% or 3.5% I stopped working to have time to get time to send New Testaments into the country. We stopped this work after 3 years because there then was no response at all. After 3 years, that was finished. So we had to think about a different way to witness or to do something. But what we really felt was we should be there. We can't actually do much from abroad. I corresponded with about 300 people, but there was always such a delay between the letters and the situation changed so quickly, so I couldn't be quick enough to help these people. So we were looking for a way to go into the country. And again, as it is such a big decision, we read in the scriptures and looked for God's guidance. And then I came in my quiet time across the verse in Ezekiel 3:18, when I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life. The same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. But if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. So reading the verse, I just burst into tears, and I just felt such strong call to be at his disposal, to go to the country. I felt great responsibility for my countrymen. And so in the end we decided to go. The only problem was where to go, with what town to go. The only place I wanted to go was Liberec, because Liberec was the place of my birth, a town very polluted and not very nice, industrial. But then we heard a sermon about missionaries wanting to go always to, not always, but many would go rather to nice places, not to places which are not attractive. And we felt bad about it. We felt bad about our resistance going to Liberec. So we said, God, if you want us to go to Liberec. And there were several other things which again fell in place, and so we went to Liberec in obedience to God. We started our work there in officially in the year on the 1st of 2000. That was our beginning. We applied several strategies. We started with our leaflets again, with our vouchers. We distributed 200,000 in this town, and that was a town where we from Germany never went, so that this was a town where there was a need to spread our vouchers. We tried creation evangelism. We had Andy McIntosh over. We booked a big hall for this occasion. We advertised everywhere. And as the Czechs are so hardened and so opposed to the Word of God and to creationism and to anything involving faith in God, in a hall like this there were only 8 people, and 6 were us and 2 were those who maintained the room. So that was that's the work there. It's hard going. We've been trying over years now personal evangelism. It's been always the most effective way, so we've been doing that. I still believe creation evangelism can be, because it worked with me, I still believe we can do something here as well. We've got our Bible study, we've got our regular meetings, we've got Sunday school running with about 10 children coming regularly. So we are there, and we believe that the hard work, we've been there for 8 years now, that there will be harvest, that we will see harvest as well. Our great encouragement was Veronica. She appeared once at our doorstep. She didn't look very good at all. She was nervous, smoky, shaved head, frightened. She was like a lost sheep. She didn't know where to go. She didn't have anybody, lost her family. Spent several psychiatric treatments. Was actually she was 20 then, and she was just about to commit suicide. That's how we met her. We invited her in. We cared for her, and we invited her to our regular meetings, to the Bible study. And she hasn't left one. She hasn't missed one over the last 3 years. She's been always there. She was like, she was soaking everything in. She was just ready to hear the Word of God. Veronica's conversion, by contrast to my conversion, was instantaneous. It took her half a year. God prepared her, had been preparing her half a year. And the final trigger was watching together the pilgrim's progress. And as she felt really spoken to and convinced of her sin and found the trust in the Lord, she fell on her knees and prayed and prayed and prayed. I prayed with her We prayed together half an hour. She poured out her heart to the Lord. I was emotionally moved very much. I had to call Nicola. Nicola continued praying with her. They were praying another half an hour together. And Nicola was helping her, but Veronica got saved at that evening in front of our eyes. It was a tremendous experience for us, tremendous encouragement as well, that the Lord is doing something in our town. There are a few others in our meetings. We are just a handful of people, but we think there are a few others who are very close to be saved as well. So please pray for us, for the work there. We believe that the Lord has got some more people, some more elect in the town of Liberec. We are very tired of the work, but we don't want to give up. We want to gain more strength and do more. We want to apply all these strategies, but we mustn't forget that as family that we've been entrusted with four boys: Samuel, Philip, Daniel, and Joe. And our aim is to bring them up for the Lord. So I would like to close now with the trust you've had to invite us here. I want to thank you for most welcome, for a very warm welcome. You have been seeing your work, seeing the Lord's work here. We are very encouraged. It's a great challenge for us. We are thrilled to see what tremendous work of mercy the Lord is doing here. God bless you all. I would like to introduce Veronica to you now. Can you come here? She would like to say just a few words about her.
I would like to tell you that I am very happy to be here to see Christians. Yeah. Because in Liberec there is not many, we are just three of us, and I'm very often doubting about my faith, and so thank you. And I would like to tell you one Bible verse in Czech, maybe somebody will understand, I don't know. Okay. Jestliže někdo v Kristu nové stvoření, staré věci pominuly a aj všecko nové učiněno jest. In English, it is 2 Corinthians, chapter 5, verse 17. I think this is exactly my Bible verse, and we use it for my baptism. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And I would like to tell you that I was very sinful, and I wanted to be, and I did all things which you can imagine, everything. I was willing to do it, and I did them, and when I wanted to stop it, I couldn't. So I'm very happy that when I met Karasek, they took me into their family and they gave me the Bible which I can build my life on. They taught me, and you can see, if you would know me before, you wouldn't believe it, how I am now. You wouldn't recognize me. My friends they are taking drugs or living on the street. They, when I pass them, they don't recognize me. They don't, and even my family, they are somehow like surprised, and they just shocked, I think, how I'm changed and how I behave. But everything is, I know it's not from me, and I don't want to take it like I am somehow good, or it's God who changed me, and I know that I am still growing. Yes. Thank you for listening and inviting, and for the Croft family that I meet you today with them. It's very nice with them.